And this time on Culture File, I shot the sheriff, but I swear I used an SLR. Photographer Eric Luke has a long career in capturing images as a newspaper photographer, back when queuing for use of the darkroom was among the struggles of the profession. On the 6th of July 1980, he was dispatched to Dalymount Park in Dublin to shoot a concert by reggae star Bob Marley, an assignment from which one perfect photo emerged. The singer's eyes closed in reverie, his prodigious dreadlocks exploding around his head. Eric Luke's photography, including that Marley image, is currently on show at the Station House Gallery in Dorking, where Culture File's Louis Scully went to meet the photographer.
My name is Eric Luke. I'm a photographer. I've been a photographer with newspapers for 44 years. I was staff photographer with the Irish Press Group for 17 years and followed that up with staff photographer with the Irish Times for 27 years. But 2 years ago, I stood down from that in order to pursue photography of a different kind around rural Ireland and also working on a couple of books and exhibitions. My proper first camera was called a Praktika, which was the first camera I had, which had interchangeable lenses, and bought that in a chemist shop in Dunleary. I remember they very kindly let me pay it off week by week. It was so expensive to buy. Yeah, when I was a kid at school, I had a darkroom under the stairs, so I had learned how to make prints and develop film, and that was very exciting. A tiny little cubbyhole with other photographers, and I used to go to a lot of rock bands at night and blag my way in and take pictures, even though I was a photographic printer, and then submit them to the paper the next day. I joined the Irish Press Group in 1973, and it was a different setup then to now. You went into the darkrooms as a darkroom printer. It was like an apprenticeship. And when you went into the darkrooms, you had been told that you would be one that would be going on further to be a photographer and be trained as a photographer. I went in and I was very fortunate. I was only a very short period of time in the darkrooms. I was actually only a darkroom printer for 5 months. And during those 5 months, I had been shooting images and putting them into the evening press and the early editions and the early editions of the Irish Press. And I just thought it was terribly exciting in the newsroom to see a full newsroom in full flight when a story was breaking. And the evening press was an enormous newspaper, had six different editions in the afternoon every single day. And so it was in some ways a bit like the web now, where it was perpetually changing and you were catching up with it each time. I mean, as soon as they put one issue to bed, they were working on the next one, which was actually going to be on the streets 1 hour later. Extraordinary turnaround and very, very exciting. So I went in there as a runner, and then the following year I applied for a darkroom position. We had 17 staff photographers. There was 1,600 people in the company. That included drivers, printers, everything. And we had 17 staff photographers, and we'd all jostle each other and compete for space in the paper. And every day we'd wonder who was going to get the front page and who was going to get the best picture and who was going to get the best job. And so, but a great camaraderie as well. Coleman Doyle, a legendary figure, still a great friend of mine, long, long, long retired. He and I worked together. He took me under his wing from day one. And we worked together for many, many years. And he brought me to many things, like particularly to coverage of the North. He used to go to the North an awful lot during the Troubles. And if I was on a weekend off, I would just go along with him and start shooting pictures. And he taught me how to look after myself and what I should do and what I shouldn't do and what I should look for and what I shouldn't look for. He was excellent. Tutor, and yes, indeed, he took me under his wing, and I learned everything from him.
All the way from Trenchtown, Jamaica, Bob Marley, come on!
I often laugh at it because I often think it's a bit like the amount of people that say they were in the GPO for the Rising. The amount of people now that say they were in Dalymount Park, and if they were, there was 100,000 people there. But it sort of became an iconic concert. It was one of these things that was talked about more after the concert than before. We had much more freedom then. You could move around and take pictures from whatever angle you want and photograph the crowd. Nowadays, at gigs and at concerts, everything is controlled. You're usually brought to a place like the sound desk and told it's going to be a telephoto shot from here, or you're brought to the foot of the stage and told it's going to be a wide-angle shot from here. And you're told you can do song number 4, and you can do the second half of song number 6. and the first bit of song number 7. And that's all because the band has already decided that they know what backdrop is going to be like at that stage. In other words, the pictures are totally controlled. At that gig with Bob Marley, Pat Egan would just let you move around. I do remember it being a very, very sunny day, a beautiful day, a real party atmosphere. I arrived into this enormous crowd and saw this big, big stage with so many people on it. The picture that I liked from that was Bob Marley when I was trying to capture his dreadlocks, because to me, that was still something new to us as opposed to what we normally see on stage, having shot loads of pictures of people like Rory Gallagher and Phil Lynott and Christy Moore and whatever. He is in his typical denim shirt with multicolour patches sewed into it, rainbow type colours, and he's holding and gripping the microphone and moving ahead a little bit to the right. And then it is actually just shifting from right to left, and that's why the dreadlocks are flying. The dreadlocks actually take up most of the image, which was the idea. I shot the sheriff. To get the picture of him with his dreadlocks required watching him for quite a while, then focusing on the microphone, then adjusting the focus slightly back so that you'd get him in focus, and then waiting for the time when he'd shake his head, and there's a moment when you just stop, when you shake one way and you stop before you turn back again, and that's when the dreadlocks take flight. So I would have shot probably at that gig 5 rolls of film, and there would only have been one frame where that was actually caught properly. I shot the sheriff. The
Eric Luke there on capturing his most famous image of Bob Marley, which you can see now if you follow at Culturefile Pod on Twitter. Louis Scully was the reporter.